The following message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone, and God bless you. Jeanette and I want to welcome you, and we want to thank you for spending this opportunity here for us to worship together here at Maranatha Church. And we're just so blessed to always have the opportunity to share the word of the Lord with you, to be able to sow into your life. We thank you for allowing us the privilege to speak into your life. And so let's get ready to worship the Lord here in our time of receiving and in giving and receiving his word today. Amen. We've already worshiped him in praise and in worship. We'll have an opportunity at the end of our service to worship him in our giving of our tithe and our offering. But for now, we're going to continue our worship in worshiping him in the word. So let's just open with a word of prayer here and just to prepare ourselves, because that's where we have been for the past few weeks, talking about being prepared and preparing ourselves. Amen. Heavenly Father, now as we come before you, we thank you for this opportunity. We have been graced to join together as the family united in Jesus Christ. And we thank you. That's no small thing. And we are blessed to have that opportunity. So we take this next time here as a sacred time to learn your word, to know your word. And so, Father, we ask right now that you would open up our mind to receive. Jesus, we ask that you would open up our heart, that you may deposit the rich seed of your word deep within that will bring forth a beautiful harvest. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you open up our ears and our sight, that we may hear and see your word, that we may apply it to our life and live the life that is becoming of sons and daughters that are part of the King and the kingdom. And we bless you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your scripture, go ahead and turn to the book of Acts. And kind of get your fingers both on Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3. We'll be there in a moment. As I said a little bit earlier, we're continuing with our current teaching series, Prepared for Pentecost. And after the past couple of weeks, we've been spending some time examining what it means to be prepared and to preparing and being prepared and preparing oneself. But today I want to kind of shift gears a little bit as we look at Acts chapters 2 and 3, and I want to start with a question. The question is, what do you do with power? You know, the other day I was speaking with my brother and I asked him what kind of cars he owned in the past. Now, I'm not a car guy. I mean, I obviously like the car I drive, but I'm not a car guy. I don't understand how cars work. I just kind of get the idea that you put the right kind of gas in the car, and as long as it's not making any weird noises, and it goes from A to B, then we got ourselves a good car. But my brother, on the other hand, he is a car guy. He likes to tinker, he likes to modify, he likes to know what makes the car really work. And so he was telling me, growing up, all the different cars he owned. And he owned everything from sports cars to muscle cars to those classic American cars that people would just love to have today. But he always would tinker with those cars. And he was always trying to get the most out of it. You know, whether it was, you know, changing the carburetor to do a certain function, or, and you can already probably tell I have no idea what I'm talking about at this point, but he always liked to tinker. And so he told me one of his favorite cars was a 65 Oldsmobile Tornado. Now, I know it's pronounced tornado, but it's spelled tornado, but I guess you pronounce it tornado. And he said he loved that car. It was front-wheel drive, and I guess that was pretty rare at the time. And so he said he just loved that car, and it was just so fast, and it was heavy, and it was just a great car. And he told me a story. One day, he picked up a friend of his from school, and as they were driving toward their destination, they got on this kind of long stretch of road that was pretty isolated. And so the thought occurred to him at that moment. He wondered, how fast can this car really go? And so he began to accelerate. As he pushed his foot down on that pedal, the car quickly reached 60, and 60 turned to 80, and 80 to 100, and 100, and eventually he said that that speedometer was stuck at the highest speed that car was set to go. It was so fast, he said, that his friend got scared and buried himself in the floorboard of the passenger side. And he remarked that, as crazy as it was, because it was crazy what he did, as crazy as it was, he could never forget the fact that when he had reached that speed, that it felt as if the car was floating. The truth is, it probably was, but it's an amazing example of power. And if you stop to think about it, we all measure things in life by power. The car you drive is measured by horsepower. Even the lawnmower you may use has a measurement of horsepower to let you know how that mower can mow your yard. Light bulbs are measured by lumens, which is just another way of letting you know how much candlelight power is in a particular bulb. And everything that we place with power, from guns to medicine to storms to people, businesses, they all live on some scale of power. There are power couples, powerful corporations, power grids, stopping power. And of course, when one has money, the perception is that they are very powerful. Now, power like money is not good or evil. But there is such a thing as an abuse of power. And in the wrong hands, such power can have lasting negative repercussions. History is replete with people who have used their power to shape the outcomes of economies, wars, conflicts, and nations, and not always for the better. And what might be good for one person often comes at the expense of another when power is used for selfish desires. And then as Christians, we are all too aware of a power that goes beyond the seen into the unseen, yet we witness its many manifestations daily. As Christians, we are to be aware of who our true adversary is and what methods and approaches he uses to steal, kill, and destroy, as well as deceive and corrupt. But as Christians, we also know we have experienced a power from God that overcomes the powers and principalities of this world. We have been recipients of his power, grace, mercy, love, and compassion. We have been delivered from sickness, spared from an eternal separation from him, therefore nullifying the terror of death. And we are those who are living testimonies of a supernatural power that equips us to live victorious every day and in every circumstance. And as we journey through our current teaching series, we are now studying these early days of the Acts of the Apostles and the formation of a church that would eventually include people from every tribe, nation, and tongue in that church was certainly powerful. And yet it cannot be missed and it should not be overlooked that this new power the apostles were walking in was not born from head knowledge or driven by force of will. Rather, this new power was from the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and by his prompting, all of the teachings and experiences that the apostles had received now came alive personally, were being distributed corporately in a refreshing way that was now changing their world. And so let's look here and our text. And let's go to Acts chapter 3. Now remember, Acts chapter 2, as we saw in our message teachings on being prepared, was really chapter 1 and 2 were two chapters of being prepared and then preparing themselves for what was coming next. And as in Acts chapter 3, we now turn and we start to explore a little bit more closely power. I'm reading out the Message translation. We'll have it here on the screen as well. And if you have your old school Bible or you're reading from your Bible app, make sure that you just follow along. Again, I'm reading out the Message translation. And it reads as follows. One day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way in the temple for a prayer meeting. At the same time, there was a man crippled from birth being carried up. Every day he was set down at the temple gate, the one named Beautiful, to beg for those going in the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. Peter and John at his side looked at him straight in the eye and said, "Look here." He looked up, expecting to get something from Peter. But Peter said, "I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." He grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. And in an instant, his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and walked. The man went into the temple with them, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Let's stop there and take notice of some important notes. The first is, a crippled person asks for what he wants, thinks he knows what he needs, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, discovers his true want, need, and purpose. In a very real way, the cripple becomes for us a literal and vivid illustration of every person who is born lame because we are all born sinners. Born unable to walk because there's not a single sinner who can walk this life good enough to please God. We all require the help and assistance of the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk in a way that God is able to bless us and is pleased by our faithfulness. The cripple was a man who was outside of the temple, and likewise, we often are also dwelling in the fringes of our faith. We are hesitant or crippled to the point where we are unable or unwilling to enter the family of God, be it in the local church or in a home Bible study group. And finally, he was begging, searching for satisfaction. And that would also speak to all of us. We are a people who are looking and searching for a lasting satisfaction. But it is in what occurs next, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that sends the ministry of the apostles into another gear and sets up the world to face a reality with real power. You see, while the beggar wanted money for temporary satisfaction, and other people may have looked on believing that money was not his solution, but he did in fact need to walk, Peter knew by the Holy Spirit what this man truly needed was what he was already, meaning Peter, walking in. Peter knew the real miracle was not going to be in the money or even in the physical healing, but what was about to occur deep within the man. And we know this to be true because when you carefully exegete out Peter's words, what you see is that he told the man simply this, "I don't have what you want, but I know what you need." The beggar needed Jesus. It was in the power of God in flesh, Jesus, the man would not only be physically healed, but also made alive in his spirit. In fact, the other part of what Peter spoke into this man was the gift of discovering his true purpose and identity was in Jesus. The miracle we read in Acts 3 is of a lame beggar, a cripple, that many have passed by every day without any change in this man's life for the better. But when greeted with the power of the Holy Spirit, this once beggar and cripple was suddenly made strong, standing up, alive, spiritually awakened, and now living with a purpose, both restored in body and in spirit. So our first point is, the crippled person will ask for what he wants, thinks he knows what he needs, but with the power of the Holy Spirit will discover his true want, need, and purpose. Second point, if you're taking notes, jot this down. A life lived with the Holy Spirit behaves differently. A life lived with the Holy Spirit behaves different. The second miracle is immediately witnessed not only by others, but by the recipient, because no sooner is this cripple restored, we read that he began to, in verse 8 through 10, the man went into the temple with them, Peter and John, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Everybody there saw him walking around and praising God. They recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple gate, beautiful, and they rubbed their eyes astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. Was the man ecstatic to be healed? Yes. Was he thrilled to be doing what he could never have done? Yes. But a closer examination of the scripture tells us that the man began to walk and behave, and the word used there is imitate. He walked and behaved and imitated who? No doubt, it is inferred that Peter and John, seeing this miracle, joined in the celebration. But the celebration was not in the miracle, but in what Acts tells us, the man was praising God and began to walk and behave in the like manner of the men who were already walking and behaving according to the Spirit. One who is genuinely walking with the Holy Spirit will always walk different. He'll always talk different, and they will always live as one who is truly living in as well as with power. You see, this is the byproduct of God power. We are in the family of God, and we have at our use every day and in all circumstances this power. And yet many speak about the Holy Spirit as some long-lost relic or a museum piece we admire behind the glass and remark, "Remember when?" The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Godhead and very much alive and powerful, as much as the Father and the Son are very much alive and powerful in today. The difference is we are far more accepting within our Christianity today of allowing God and or Jesus to intervene on our behalf. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we put on the brakes and we miss out on opportunities to truly walk in power, authority, and victory. So our second point is, a life alive with the Holy Spirit behaves different. Third and final point, a life filled with the Holy Spirit always points people back to Jesus and away from the seductive power of this world. A life filled with the Holy Spirit always points people back to Jesus and away from the seductive power of this world. Peter used this healing as an opportunity to present Jesus and offer forgiveness to the nation once again. We read in Acts 3:17, he boldly states, quote, "Now it's time to change your ways!" Exclamation point. Turn to face God so he can wipe away your sins, pour out showers of blessing to refresh you, and send you the Messiah he prepared for you, namely Jesus. Listen to every word he speaks to you. every last living soul who refuses to listen to the prophet will be wiped out from the people. It is because of ignorance we repeat the actions that often cripple us. But ignorance is not an excuse. Through this powerful miracle, an opportunity was now given again. Jesus was giving Israel another opportunity to accept him as Lord and Savior, and it was going to require a turning away from the power of the world they thought they wanted and needed, and embracing his power, his way, and his kingdom. Peter was offering everyone the opportunity to receive and take hold of the same reality this cripple and beggar has now received. Their time for restoration was now. And it is here you may ask, how did the nation respond to this invitation? And again, Scripture tells us that many of the common people believed and were saved, but the rulers had the apostles arrested. As we bring this to a conclusion, I started this message with a question. What will you do with power? And so let me ask you to consider some final questions that require of you a definitive answer. Four quick questions. One, what will you do with the power of the Holy Spirit you have? What will you do with the power of the Holy Spirit you already have? Second question. Can you continue to journey through life thinking you know what you want or what you believe you need, when in reality, the Holy Spirit is prompting you to a life that will truly satisfy? Can you continue on this journey of life thinking you already know what you want and know what you need, when in reality the Holy Spirit is already prompting you to a life that will truly satisfy? Third question. Can you continue to live crippled by the hurts, wounds, and frustrations of the world? Or do you need to live alive as Jesus intends? Sadly, we live crippled. So can we continue to live crippled by the hurts, wounds, and frustrations of the world? The answer to that would be yes. But Jesus intends for us to live alive by the Spirit. Final question. Are you pointing people back to the power of Jesus? Are you using the Holy Spirit power within you to testify, proclaim, and encourage people to turn from a failing worldly power with diminishing hope and turn to that life with purpose, destiny, and power that gives a lasting hope? At some point in time, we must ask ourselves, what will we do with the power of the Holy Spirit? My brother's tornado was only as powerful as he was willing to press down and use it. If he had just barely applied any pressure, the use of the car's potential would have never been discovered, and the car would have never done what it was capable of doing. But once he pressed down, the car performed as it was designed. And the same holds true for you. Jesus told his disciples, "You have all you need. Receive the Holy Spirit, and now go and share the good news to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the corners of the world." We have all we need. We have Jesus' permission as well as his commission to share the good news of him and the kingdom. So what more do we need? I would challenge all of us to consider, what might this fellowship, this city, and your relationships look like if you used the power of the Holy Spirit for Jesus' glory and how that might really change our world. There are plenty of cripples and beggars waiting to believe, and they are just waiting for the power-filled invitation. Let's pray. And if you're with us today and what you've heard has spoken deeply to a season in your life that is being challenged with this Bible truth. This is not Pastor Joshua truth. This is right from Jesus' mouth, witnessed by his apostles, then testified, and then witnessed by the miraculous outpouring that follows by a Holy Spirit-driven life. And I want to encourage us today, if anything in here started to speak to a season in your life, to not be afraid, but go forward. Now, maybe you're not walking where you need to be walking in your season, though at a point in time in your life, you had said yes to Jesus. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus, but everything you hear right now is just getting your heart thumping loud. It's bursting out of your chest, and you say, yes, I know, this is true. I want to walk in this, but I don't know how to. Well, we're going to pray. Some of us may need to rededicate ourselves. Some others of us may need to take that first step. And others still have already taken the steps and need to hear these words to confirm and support that we're on the right track. And so we're going to pray together as a fellowship. And all you need to do is earnestly believe with all your heart, all your soul, and all your being that as we pray, Jesus is going to get into your life and the Holy Spirit is going to fill your life, and you're going to begin today to take those first new steps that prepare you for a power-filled life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now as we consider everything that you've said to us in this word, we just humble ourselves knowing we are incomplete without you. And yet, we can't get you any other way but making ourselves available to come to you. And we graciously ask that you would come into our circumstance and come into our life. We pray right now, Lord, that as we appeal to you, that you would begin to move in our circumstance.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnian was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.